I'll let you remain seated as we read from God's Word, because I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, and I'll start in verse 1 whenever I hear the pages stop turning. This is something that was in my Bible reading, I think last week sometime, and as my mind works, I started reading this, and then it started wandering, and I pondered about this man. Read with me here, follow along with me in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, and it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see, and now, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, and did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, but Christ should suffer, and he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.'" Let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I'd ask now that you'd help me, Lord, that I would only say the things that you'd want me to say. Father, that you'd move amongst your people, and Father, speak to us through your word. Father, let me be out of the way, and Father, you move as you see fit. And Father, we thank you for our pastor and for his family and the blessing that he's been to us. And Father, I'd ask you to keep him safe and watch over him. And Father, again, be with those that aren't here and that have some sort of need. Lord, you know the needs in their lives. I'd ask you'd meet those needs as you see fit. Give us good night in your house. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I was going through my Bible reading, and I don't know, I started daydreaming when I saw this man. And said a certain man was lame from his mother's womb. And I began to think, I don't know, my My father has taught me many times that before you get all high and mighty and before you start to judge people, to walk a mile in that person's shoes. To put yourself in that man's situation and to think, you know, what would I be like or what would I do if that was me who was a lame man from my mother's womb? So we know he's a man, that means that, and from his mother's womb, that means that he's never been able to walk. So as a child, he couldn't run and play like other kids. I know Jacob knows a little bit about that, what's that like, because when he was 2 years old, he had both of his legs operated on and couldn't walk. But he, as a child, he seemed to be just fine with it. He'd scoot around the floor real fast, and then when he had casts on, he got up and would walk straight-legged. And to him, it didn't seem to be that big of a deal, but I'm sure maybe as he got older, though, it would. As he saw maybe his other brothers and sisters doing many things that he couldn't do, and then eventually them going to work with Dad or helping out Mom around the house or things like that, he was always had to be helped or had to be carried or had to be moved. And then as he watched his family go away and get families of their own, and he left at home. And I don't know who brought him to the gate, but it says that he was brought daily to the gate of the temple. I don't know if it was his parents that would bring him. Maybe they would still be alive. If somebody brought him to the temple, and I got to thinking, why would he go to the temple? And I don't know if it's because he was hoping to get something from people going to the temple, that God's people would be more kind to him. Or maybe he heard stories about a man named Jesus. And Jesus would enter into the temple, and they would bring, maybe he heard a story about the man with the withered hand who was at the temple, and Jesus walked up to him, and it was on the Sabbath day, and he healed his hand. And so maybe he thought, maybe if I just, you know, after years of being able not able to walk, if I could just get to the place where Jesus was. And he was at the door of the temple, maybe thinking that he heard the story about the woman who went up behind Jesus and just touched the very hem of his garment, and she was healed of her infirmities. And he thought, maybe if I get just at the gate, maybe I could get a glimpse of Jesus, and maybe I'll touch his garment, he might be able to heal me. And so for once in his life, I thought maybe, and this is me reading between the lines, and I'm just thinking out loud, but maybe he thought for once he finally had hope that he might be able to walk again and not be in the condition that he's in. And so he went daily at the temple and waited and waited. And then one day, the sky got black in the middle of the day. A great earthquake. And from behind him, he heard, as the veil of the temple rent, and he said, "What does this mean?" He asked people, "What does this mean?" And they said, "They crucified him. They crucified Jesus." And all that hope that he had that Jesus would come by in the temple and heal him was now gone. Jesus isn't going to come back. They crucified him. He's dead. So he, again, still was carried to the temple daily, but his head was hung low. If you look down in verse number 4, it says, or we'll go back to 3, it says, "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked him an alms." So maybe with his head hung low, as his posture I think would have been, as his hope was lost, he saw some feet coming and he just held out his hand and asked for alms. And then Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, not just a casual glance at a man's laying there, as probably most people do, like whenever you go into Walmart and you got the guys out there with the Salvation Army and they're ringing their bell, or the Girl Scout cookies, you're like, oh, I don't have any money, and you just walk around the other side and hope maybe they don't see you. But Peter, instead of passing by this man, says he fastened his eyes upon this man. That means he looked intently. And he had compassion on this man. And he said unto him, "Look on us." Because like I said, I think his face was to the ground. And he just was hoping just to get enough food to make it by for another day. And he gave them heed, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Peter said, I don't have any money to give you for food, but he said, what I do have, I give you. And he said, that man couldn't get to Jesus anymore. Jesus was gone. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get to Jesus. But Peter said, I can get you to Jesus. And the man didn't get up. So what did Peter do in verse number 7? He says, and he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And that's the title of my message, Lift Him Up. This man couldn't get to Jesus. But Peter looked on him, had compassion on him, and said, nothing that I can do, I have nothing to give you, but Jesus has given me power. And he said, he lifted him up. He grabbed a hold of his right hand and he lifted him up. And he immediately got strength in his ankle bones and his feet, and they went into the temple, leaping and praising God, and caused quite a commotion and stir in the temple. And all these people ran up to Peter and said, you know, they were amazed at this man that had been healed and wondered how that happened. And it said, and this man was holding on. And you look at the verse number 11, it says, and the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. So he held on to their hands. I don't know if he was afraid that he'd fall again or what, or maybe he was just so happy for these two men that took time on their way to temple, on their way in their daily routine, stopped and took time and took notice of this lame man and lifted him up and brought him to Jesus. And he held on to their hands as he went in the temple, and they all came and ran. And they all wondered how this happened. And Peter straightway tells them that it was nothing that we could done. It was nothing by our holiness. It was all through Jesus Christ. And Peter began to preach to them boldly about how they were the ones that had delivered up Jesus and crucified Jesus, and how God had raised him up from the dead. And many people were saved. If you go ahead and turn to chapter number 4, and look at verse number 4, it says, Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So because Peter's boldness and the works that he did and that man's testimony, they saw 5,000 people saved. And these are just ordinary men filled with Jesus. And they just went about their daily routine, but whenever they saw someone in need, a person in need, they stopped and they lifted them up. And these are nobody special. These are just, Peter was just a fisherman. But yet he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you look down in verse number 13, people said, Now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So the thing that was special about Peter and John was nothing in of them themselves, but it was the fact that they had been with Jesus. Peter was not always that way, though. Peter, before he was Peter, was Simon. Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah. The name Simon means he has heard or to be heard. And certainly if you go back in the book of John, in all the first books of the New Testament, you'll see what kind of man Peter was. In Matthew 26:33, as Jesus was about to be crucified, he says, they'll smite the shepherd and his sheep will flee. And Peter stood up and said, even though all men shall be offended, yet I will never be offended. And God told him, and Jesus, I'm sorry, patiently worked with Peter and taught Peter and said many things to help Peter along. One of the first things he does is change his name from Simon to Peter, which means rock. For one reason, because he saw in Peter what he was about to do. But Peter Simon rather had a lot to learn before he would fully become Peter the Rock. He was boastful and he said that he would never deny Jesus, and yet he denied him three times. And Jesus told him that, "You'll deny me three times." He also showed little faith. If you go back to the story where they were on the boat, at least Peter stepped out of the boat, but he stepped out of the boat, and as he saw the waves, he took his eyes off Jesus. And his faith was small, and he began to sink. And there were still lessons that Peter had to learn. And then he even goes as far as to tell Jesus what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. If you go to Matthew chapter number 16 and 22, he says, "These things will not be so." I'll turn there real quick. I don't want to get that right. "And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. This is his master, Jesus, who created all, who knows all. He took him and rebuked him. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." See, Peter was just like all of us. Peter didn't always have God's perspective in mind or what God's will was for his life. Peter was all about me. His name was to be heard. He was boastful. He was loud. He was presumptuous. Always was to be the first one to open his mouth. And even this goes as far, like I said, to rebuke his own master, own Jesus. And Jesus could have thrown him away. And Jesus could have cast him away and says, like he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," but he wasn't done working on Peter. He stayed faithful to Peter and taught him and said, "This is what I want for you, Peter. I want you to be the rock. I want you to be." The rock figuratively in the scriptures means a defense, a protection, a strength, a firmness, or an immovable foundation. And see, Jesus wanted to take Peter and all the disciples and make his church. And so that was Simon. Then when Peter came, we saw the works of Peter in Acts. And this was one of the first works he does as he heals the lame man. But if we go back to Acts chapter number 3, we'll see where he doesn't deny Jesus anymore. Instead, he proclaims and tells everybody that verse number 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers have glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, which he was determined to let Him go." He not only is not denying Jesus anymore, he loudly proclaims Him. He also tells us through faith is how this miracle was wrought. If you go down a few verses, in verse number 16, he says, "And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness, and in the presence of you all." And so Peter has learned a few things since his early days about how to trust in God and to put his faith in Jesus. He no longer denies Him. He preaches Him. And we see that 5,000 people are saved through this simple act and his preaching the boldness of Jesus. But how did Peter get from Simon to Peter? We got to back up a few books into John. Turn with me to John chapter number 21. So something had to happen in Peter's life where he stopped thinking about himself and started thinking about what God wants for my life or what God wants me to do. If you look at me in John 21, verse number 3. "Simon Peter saith unto him, Them I go fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing." So this is back when he's Simon, he's Peter. Jesus leaves and he says, all right, well, I guess there's nothing left for us to do. Jesus is gone. I guess we're going to go back fishing. And so he goes back fishing with what he knew. But then we all know the story. Jesus shows up, tells them to cast the net on the other side, and they bring in fish. And then they come in and eat. Skip ahead with me to verse 15. And here Jesus has a little talk with Simon, not Peter, but Simon. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. Now he'd already named him Peter, but now he's back to using the name Simon. Simon, son of Jonah, thou lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto them, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest myself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, that thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest go or wouldest not. So Jesus says to him, first time, he doesn't call him by Peter, is what he's been calling him for the last couple years, but he calls him Simon to remind him of a few things, to remind him of how we get away from God. And here Peter has not done what the last thing that Jesus told him before he left. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what Peter should have been doing. But instead he said, Jesus is gone, I'm going to go fishing. And so Jesus reminds him, he tells him three times. First he says to feed my lambs, my young children, then feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. I don't know, three times is significant to how many times that Peter denied Christ and swore, maybe to remind Peter that, you know, you said you were going to do all these things. You were the first disciple to speak up and to step up and try to make yourself head of all the disciples and to show how great and mighty things you were going to do. But here you are, you're fishing, not doing what I ask you to do. And you said that you would never, although all be offended, I will never be offended. And yet, here you are fishing, not doing what I ask you to do. And so, this is how Jesus gets through to Simon and turns him into Peter. He says, from henceforth, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, and he gives Peter help. Because Peter, like us, is just flesh and needs help. If you go ahead into Acts chapter number 2, just before the passage we read, you'll find Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 2. You'll see, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they sitteth. Now this is Peter sitting with all the disciples. And he answered and said appeared unto them, cloven tongues, like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So God says, I'll go away, but I'll send you a comforter, as he promised, and he did. And so Peter and the other disciples became filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they went out, and finally, and God had to send some persecution to them so they would spread out and go into all the world, but they started doing what they were supposed to do. They started doing what God asked them to do. And that was seeking people who needed to come to Jesus. And no matter where they went, they sought, as Jesus did, sought to heal people and to lift them up. And this man that he found at the temple, fastened his eyes upon him, had compassion on him, and he could not get to Jesus, but Peter brought him to Jesus. He reached down his hand and physically pulled him up. And I know we don't have the power to heal, but we do have the power and the strength to find people that are down and maybe they're not physically lame, but they're spiritually lame. This may be an unsaved person. This may be just somebody in the church who's struggling. And instead of being critical and mean, we should extend a hand to them and lift them up. Do what God says, and that's to pray for each other and exhort one another. And whenever we have the opportunity to lift each other up. And so I know this is an area where I struggle in, and as I said earlier, I try to walk a mile in a person's shoes and put myself in their situation before I get too critical about fixing their life. Whenever I have, there's a beam in my eye, and as I try to pull the sliver out of somebody else's eye, I just know that we need to have more compassion for people. I give the bus kids a little bit of slack. I don't expect them to be model church members. If you would go to some of these homes, it would amaze you the things that you'll see. We pull up to the house and there's already police there because there's been an argument. You go into the house and there's dog poop underneath the table and the house is a mess, and you don't know, one week they're at their mom's, the next week they're at their dad's, they're here, there, and I don't know, nobody seems to care that much for them. And so I know that they don't always act the way they should, but just lend a hand to them, reach down and lift them up. I know Dave Fenwick, for years Don and I would take turns running back and forth, and I know he had some anger problems, but I cut him a little slack for the simple reason that he was pretty much like this man. This man, he couldn't walk. David had I think it was spinal meningitis, spinal bifida, where he slowly lost. But I stopped and said to myself, what would it be like? I'm living my daily life going like this, and maybe I got in a car accident and my back was broke, and then overnight, just like that, here I was, be sitting in a wheelchair. Would I be even as kind and gentle as he was? I don't know. I mean, I honestly think I would have anger problems as well. And say, you know, I don't think I would have the right attitude. It would probably take a long time. So I'm just asking everyone to, before you're quick to judge, that just reach out and lend a hand to people and pull them up. And that's pretty much all I have for you tonight. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed.